Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. Again, you can weigh in on a Georgia Bulldog hitting the transfer portal during championship week. So your thoughts on that. Or let us know what you think the Falcons need to do to get back on the winning track. Again, this is the wake-up call. That's what it's for, so give us a shout.
Yeah, I want to start first. I got a wake-up call, and, you know, it sucks that you have to talk about this. It's not, you know, in a similar vein of the flag planting where teams are fighting, but yesterday a fight broke out in the Jaguars-Texans game after Trevor Lawrence goes to slide and Azeez Al-Shaair decides he's going to, as Lawrence is clearly sliding, he's going to go after his head with two forearm shivers, I guess you could call them, to Lawrence's head, which knocks him out. And they, because of the way some of the, I think some of those the concussion doctors said it was one of those, kind of like what Tua had, the traumatic brain injury, because of the way your arms flail, right,
Tiff? The fencing position.
Okay. And it's dirty and it doesn't belong. And look, he was ejected. I think rightfully so. I'm not going to sit here and go on some rant about how he should never play again because that is ridiculous, but he's a repeat offender. This is also a guy that put his hand around Tom Brady's throat in a game years past, a few years ago. When you have repeat offenders and you go headhunting when a guy is to me, there's a difference in headhunting when a guy comes across the middle and when a player is sliding, quarterback or not, and the direct, we can't get up in arms about Tua and how he should retire and how he should take care of himself and then not be up in arms when blatant disrespect for other players' safety is shown like Al-Shaair did in Sunday's game.
And I did play this back several times to try to see if it was like a bang-bang kind of thing, and I'm leaning towards no. I think it was a pretty dirty hit. Also, Trevor Lawrence did go home and put out a statement on X saying that he was feeling better, that he is at home, and he thanked everybody for reaching out for their support.
There's two angles, Tiff. I did too. I watched the first angle that was shown, and I can't remember who tweeted it. It's the sideline angle, right?
Right.
And it looks somewhat bang-bang. There's
an end zone view.
An end zone view, thank you. Behind where Lawrence is running, and that is the one that is clear that this was a decision made that I'm gonna knock his ass out, and he did. And it doesn't belong. We can't all the things that are in the game these days. I just think there's a complete difference in that, and you know, when a guy comes across the middle and lighting him up and he's on his feet, but you know, I'm interested in maybe some other people in our wake-up calls maybe have something to say about that along with whatever we can fix the Falcons or Kirk Cousins.
Or if you have thoughts on flag planning, let's go to Sarah on the line in Cleveland, Georgia. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning, Sarah.
Good, and you?
I'm doing good. It's actually my birthday. I took my mother to the game yesterday to celebrate my birthday, and Kirk gave me a good present.
Happy birthday. Okay, happy birthday, though.
Sarah, did he throw you a ball, too?
Hey, man, I think I was too far in the stands, so he didn't look at me for 10 seconds straight to throw it there. So,
Well, happy belated birthday.
Oh, man. Yeah, happy birthday. Sheesh.
You know, but Kirk is not really who I want to talk about on the Falcons this morning. I'm also a Florida Gators fan. And if Kyle Pitts don't block somebody, you guys, when his players are running behind him, right in front of my seats, man, we would have had a touchdown. If Kyle Pitts would just block somebody.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that? Thanks for the call, and I think you make a good point. Kyle Pitts has been non-existent for the last month for the Atlanta Falcons, it feels like. But there's a thing where sometimes it's like when guys don't play extremely hard on every play, sometimes you're like, oh, well, you know, I can't blame him for not getting a block there. But if he had played hard from the beginning, and I'm not talking about that specific play for Kyle Pitts, and I know what she's talking about. She's talking about the Ray McLeod, 60-yard catch. But if you play hard from the beginning and get some of those guys early, it might be a completely different situation. And so Ray gets knocked out at the 10, and you're like, all right, good, we're set up inside the red zone. But if he gets the end zone, then we're talking about a completely different conversation this morning.
Yeah, and save your tweets and your texts and your calls about how the Falcons don't use Kyle Pitts right. You can save it. Because there's no such thing. If he's a unicorn, if he's an elite player, if he's a difference maker, they shouldn't have to scheme a way to use him, okay? You don't get to pick who covers you. Your job is to beat it. And there's plenty of times where there are guys on him that he can beat and he doesn't, whether it's he's good enough, whether it's want to. Honestly, I'm over talking about that too. Stop with it's everyone else's fault but the players. Sometimes it is the player's fault. You know, there's another guy on this team that's not necessarily playing up to the ability we've seen of him in the past, and you're going to tell me it's everyone else's fault too? No. That guy's on defense, by the way.
Ding.
Back to the lines we go. Let's say good morning to Chase and Jefferson. Good morning, Chase.
What up, Chase?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. So, to be honest with you, not to sound insensitive, but, you know, with the Marlon Humphreys, you know, I've called him number 12 for Georgia, you know, when I'm talking to all my buddies in the Georgia game. We've all been saying since week one, you know, texting during the game, man, this number 12 sucks. This guy's not any good. So, to be honest with you, the fact that he's entering the portal, I mean, in my humble opinion, it's not really news. I mean, I hope he goes somewhere and finds success. But as a Georgia fan, I don't really think we're any worse off. But on the Falcons, man, so deep down, I started Kirk Cousins in my fantasy league. So, selfishly, it hurt twice over, so he's probably going to cost me the number one seed in the playoffs. But hey, it's not about me. I don't want you guys to go crazy. You know, sometimes I can be a little negative because the Falcons have hurt me so many times. But it's like, man, I'm at a point where maybe it's time to rip it down to the studs. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, Troy Anderson. You know, I'm watching N'Kobe Dean kill it, and you know, I know we missed on Ja'Marr Chase, and I know you can't really look at all the people we haven't drafted, but when you look at the people we have drafted in the top 10, it's like, man, they're not helping us win games; they're helping us lose games. So, anyway, good talking with you guys. Love the show. Take care.
Thanks, Chase.
Appreciate the call.
Ripping it out of the studs is no.
You just did that. This is supposed to be the product.
We can't talk about Troy Anderson after the way the defense played yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a complete non-topic right now.
Also, N'Kobe Dean, what you're asking in this defense for your linebackers, I'm not sure N'Kobe Dean quite fits that.
All right, back to the lines we go. We got Haitian Dave in Cobb County. Good morning.
Whamp, whamp, whamp.
Mafia in the building.
Attaboy, Dave.
Let's
good to hear from
it,
you, buddy.
Let's get it. Good to hear from you too, brother. How you feeling, man?
Hey, man, living the dream.
There you go. Keep living, brother. Keep living. Hey, Bo, you was spot on, brother. I loved it. Your take about Aziz, spot on, bro. Like,
appreciate
that was
that.
A dirty play. We don't need him here. That was trash. That was horrible. As far as old what a name, we're gonna call him old what a name from Georgia. Kirby, let him go. Who cares? My boy Dylan said it this morning. Georgia showed us that they still have championship pedigree. They're still championship ballers on that squad.
Yeah.
Let's go, dog.
Yeah.
Kirk O'Dangs. Dang, man.
Yeah.
You got to be able to move in this league if you're a quarterback. There's no, I ain't going to say there's no such thing as a pocket quarterback anymore, but you got to have some scrambles, whatever the word is. You got to be able to scramble them eggs, bro. You got to get move your feet. You know what I'm saying? If he could have just ran it, checked it down to Bijan. Bijan was dead in front of him, let Bijan make magic. But But instead, you floated up into the back of the end zone where there's a sea of white jerseys. Come on, dog. You got to be better.
Great Mike call.
Mafia, we out of here, man.
Great call, Dave. I will say this. We talked about Julian Humphrey has started 10 games. Well, it's a reason it's not more than that because he has essentially been kind of taken out of that lineup the last 2 weeks for Daniel Harris. So to your point about the actual game this weekend, it little to no effect, I don't think, for most Georgia fans. So,
yeah, and he had teammates defending him last night. I think it was Branson Robinson, I think. Is that the running back? There's Roderick, too. I can't remember if it was Roderick or Branson, but one of them went on defending him, and I rightfully so. You know, look, his decision is his decision, whether we like it or not. There's no reason to take, you know, shots at him online and stuff.
There's a lot of gray area to all these things. There's caveats. Like, you can hate the – you can be okay with the fact that he transferred and hate the timing of it.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
There's a lot of caveats to it, and that's the reason we had it in a wake-up call, man. It's good stuff.
Up next, what happened with the Falcons in that loss to the Chargers? We've got the former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the morning shift. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the morning shift, going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Dave. How you feeling?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. How about them Cyclones?
Yeah, about that, man. How about that little championship game action, huh? Maybe play yourself into the playoff.
Did I see that right, Dave? This is the first 10-win season in program history. Is that right or no?
That is correct, yes. Wow. They have not been able to get to double digits. And, Matt Campbell's done an amazing job there, as you know, recruiting to a little country town, little corn-fed town there in the middle of Iowa. That they're not pulling 4- and 5-star kids in, but he's done a great job developing the program. And this is their second time in the Big 12 title game in the last 5 years. I think the only other team that's been in the Big 12 title game twice in the last 5 years, Oklahoma State. So doing some good stuff up there, man.
Yeah, there's a new sheriff in the post-Texas-Oklahoma Big 12, and it might be a Cyclone. All right.
Either that or a Sun Devil, one of the two.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Their mascot keeps getting in brawls. They might not make it very far. All right. We can get to that because I know you did do Alabama Auburn over the weekend in the Iron Bowl. We can get to the fight stuff in a minute, but we got to hit it hard now. Kirk Cousins, what'd you see from him, Arch, in a 4-interception performance? Was there anything that you saw during the game that stood out?
Well, there's a lot of things that Kirk struggled with for some reason yesterday. I mean, he's been really good this year. He's done a lot of good things for his team. I think Raheem's talked about that, but I thought he had some problems decision-making-wise. Early on, I thought he missed a couple of throws. He had Darnell Mooney on the opening drive. Darnell slipped into that second level behind the linebackers, and he had an opportunity to stick one in there to him, kind of got a little bit antsy, maybe anticipated the throw and then had to kind of reload it and then threw it again. It was short, and Mooney couldn't come up with it down about the 2-yard line, which probably would have given you an opportunity to punch it in there. He missed, I believe, Mooney again on a little play where Mooney read the route perfectly, sat down in the hole. And, again, it was one of those – you kind of felt like he felt guys around his arm. I've been in that position before where the pocket's crushing down around you, and you almost feel like you're trying to throw it in a closet. And so you change your arm angle a little bit. You don't get a lot on it. He short-hopped that one into Mooney. And then, of course, the interceptions. He misread the pit six is one where they had shown a zero look where they were going to come after him. They did the first time. The second time they dropped off in zone coverage, he did not see the flat defender. Threw it out there. And ironically enough, I was watching the game last night with Tampa and Carolina, hoping Carolina was going to do us a solid. They almost did. But Baker Mayfield goes out on a play where he gets his ankle twisted, comes back in. In his very first play, he throws a pick, and it's a very similar misread where he didn't read the cloud corner. Corner rolled up in the flat. He thought he was running out of there in man coverage, and he threw a pick. And as it turns out, they were able to tackle the Carolina defender, and he didn't score, but we didn't get that done. It was taken all the way back for a touchdown. The most disturbing one was probably when he got up in the pocket. We're down in scoring territory. You can't take potential three off the board, let's put it that way. And he throws kind of a jump ball type situation in the end zone. And, Drake London's there kind of in the area, but it looked like it was kind of to Mooney, and Mooney's not really going to win one of those battles, and it ends up being an interception in the back of the end zone. That one got you a little bit. The last interception, he's trying to push it up the field because it's fourth down. He's just trying to get us in field goal range, and so you got to take a shot at that point. And Derwin James picks the last one off. So there's the kind of the interception deal. I just thought his decision making wasn't nearly on par for where he normally is. And he said it in the interview with me. He's gonna have to go back and do a little soul searching and stuff and get back to making those good decisions as a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, what does that look like, Arch? Because to me, I had a couple reactions to this game yesterday. First and foremost, it looked to me like he's gone back and watched the film. He's taken two or more sacks in five straight games. So watching the film going, I got to get the ball out. And especially when you look over on the other side of the ball, you see Khalil Mack, you see Joey Bosa, you're like, I got to get it out. But also, we've kind of clamored for more play action. You heard Raheem Morris talk about it last week, got to run more play action. The second play action pass of the game, he throws a pick. And I think that when you have play action, you know this better than anybody, you turn your eyes away from the defense. They can, you know, kind of change and disguise coverage. How much of what they were doing coverage-wise do you think that Kirk Cousins was absolutely confused by? Because he looked uncomfortable, but I'm just curious how much he was actually confused or how much of it was, kind of just knowing that pass rush would get there eventually.
Well, I think it's always a combination of what you just described, Mike, but I think there was some moments there where the Chargers did a really good job in the back end of muddying the water before the snap. You try to get a pre-snap look, And usually when you drop the throw and don't turn your eyes away from the line of scrimmage, you confirm it in your first step or two of what you thought you saw pre-snap. That doesn't really happen in play action. As you described really accurately in the pregame show, or the postgame show last night, I was driving home listening to you. When you turn your back to the line of scrimmage to play action fake, you've got to be able to have time to confirm what you thought you saw pre-snap, and so that's going to make you hold the ball longer. Usually, play action protection is your best protection because you got more guys involved in protection. Your back's going to slide up, chip somebody, pick somebody up. Usually, your tight end's check releasing, and it's usually a two-man route, three-man route, so the protection's better because you got more people. That means you can hold the ball longer. And Kirk just didn't recognize after he came out of the play fake what they were doing. And obviously it resulted in an interception. I thought we did there was a couple of times poor job in play action where you didn't check out of the backfield. I thought that Tyler Algier got hung up a couple of times, and you understand it because the two guys you mentioned, Bosa and Mack, are two guys that have a reputation for getting after you, and they were certainly doing a decent job. But I don't remember mentioning their name very much, Mike, last night. I know that they were around and certainly were collapsing the pocket, but I don't remember mentioning their name making any plays. And so maybe you gave them a little bit too much respect, one with guys trying to check out or help block them and check out. But you didn't get your checkdowns out a couple of times. And so Kirk was in a position where he was, panicked a little bit, I guess, and tried to force the ball up the field. And like you're saying, he wants to get the ball out. You want something positive happening. But, number one in your mind as a quarterback is protection of the football. And he didn't get that done yesterday.
We've got Dave Archer on the line with us, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Dave, this defense came into this game with the NFL low, 10 sacks, and then they get five on Justin Herbert in this matchup. What did you make of the way that this defense came out and played, especially coming out of the bye week?
Well, certainly, Tiff, they were very much renewed. This is something we talked about throughout the week, that we felt like this was going to be a refreshed group. I thought they looked really tired and beat up against Denver, especially the two linebackers. Ellis and Lamon have played so much with the injuries, JT Bertrand and Troy Anderson, that they've got a lot of snaps under their belt. There's like a running back that's carried the ball 400 or 500 times. I mean, they just were beat down and worn down. I thought that the time off really rejuvenated them. Plus, you got Troy Anderson back, which helped them rotate another player in there. And so I thought they looked really well. I thought the defensive front was really active. There was a lot of stunts and things. And Mike, you talked about this in the postgame. I thought their self-scout, they got to some stuff defensively maybe they weren't doing very much of. I thought the stunt game was phenomenal between the front four and rushing the passer. And you knew going in that Justin Herbert was one of those kind of quarterbacks that hangs onto the ball. He's not a guy that gets the ball out really quick. He's going to try to wait to the last minute. It's kind of like Ben Roethlisberger used to be. You know how Ben standing there, and then he'd shrug guys off and he'd wait. And that's what Herbert does. And so because of the way he plays, and maybe and a good deal of it probably to the staff, give Jimmy Lake and his staff credit on the defensive side for getting some stunts in to get guys home. Ebby Cady was excellent. Obviously, Grady Jarrett was outstanding. We had Kentavious Street was in there. So there was a number of guys, just one guy doing it. And so I thought it was just a renewed effort on the other side of the ball, on the defensive side. And they I feel bad for them because this was a championship performance, really. You know, you have 189 yards in total offense to an offense. That's a game you should walk away and win easily. They had the ball for, I don't know, 12 more minutes in the game. They limited them to like 3 conversions on third down. Just a phenomenal performance. The only thing they didn't take it away, they didn't take it away multiple times, but they did get one takeaway, which provided a short field opportunity that was netted a touchdown. This was a winning performance defensively, no question.
Arch, real quick, does college football have a problem with flag planting at midfield?
Arch would have been the one planting the flag. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, there's a lot of levels of stuff that this is going to have to go through. I know Kirk Herbstreit said some stuff about it. And, you know, this is an administrative deal where you're going to have to talk to your coaches and your players about, you know, wrangling it in. Individual institutions are going to have to wrangle this thing in. There's always – Mike and I both played in games like these ones we had this weekend where the temperatures run a little hotter because there is crosstown stuff or there is guys you played against in high school and there is that rivalry thing going on, but it is supposed to be, you know, college football and there's a decorum that certainly has to fit it to a certain extent. You want it's funny, Mike, we talked about this a little bit. I think that you want the fever pitch, but you don't want it to spill over. And it got sideways on Saturday, no question about it. So it's going to have to be addressed. Each institution is going to have to address it. Each of the commissioners and each conference is going to have to address it. And then, you know, all the coaches are going to have to talk to the players about this. And the coaches, to a certain extent, were part of the problem. And so that's something they're going to have to wrangle in as well. But you can't have multiple fights because there were fights all over the country. I was at Auburn, Alabama. We had one get sideways. It was kind of a benign play, but an Alabama guy loses his mind because he's getting blocked and the wide receiver blocked him effectively. And then it got out of bounds and then it was on Auburn's sideline and here comes Alabama's sideline. And so you just can't have that. So that's the way, the only way you're going to have to throw guys out of the game. This multiple, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty is not working. Okay, if you get a guy that gets in a fight and they start tearing people's helmets off and punching, you got to throw them out of the game. And that will deter people as well, but you got to get the thing under control, no question.
Arch, did they treat you well over in Tuscaloosa, man, or do I need to make a phone call to somebody? They probably treated you better than they do me over there, honestly.
No. I was asked when I got in the building, do you know Mike Johnson? I said, yeah. So that was how I got in.
Oh, you do know Mike? Get out now.
Well, I had to give a background on you where you played every position along the offensive line. I had to tell them about All American and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, I barely got in. But you were the key turner that got me in, my man.
Yeah, I'm sure, buddy. Good stuff.
Dave, as always, appreciate you joining us here on the Morning Shift.
Thanks, guys. See y'all.
That was Dave Archer, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, joining us here. You can follow him on X at ArcherQB. Or Archer 16QB, did I get that right?
Yeah, QB, QB.
It's on the printout.
Archer QB
Dave,
16.
Archer QB 16. Hope you hung out, Dave.
Yeah. I almost gave his email address out because there's numbers and letters in that too. And I was like, whoa, wait, no, it's Archer QB 16.
All right, we'll be right back here at the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're back here on the Morning Shift going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find Dr. Travell Ellis. Happy to have you with us this morning. We know that this is a big initiative between Cologuard, the Atlanta Falcons, and Exact Sciences as we try to get encourage people to get screened, people 45 and over to get screened for colorectal cancer. How important is this, doctor?
Yeah, so colorectal cancer is actually the number two cancer killer, and over 50,000 people will lose their lives to a disease that's preventable. We can catch this cancer before it ever wreaks havoc on your body. It's the one cancer you don't have to get. But you got to get people screened.
Dr. Ellis, I was going to say, just how did this come about? How did this initiative come about with the Atlanta Falcons? I know you got Little John partnered in there. It's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah. Little John's a local guy, a local artist with a passion for his hometown and wanted to do something to give back and spread awareness. Just really great guy. And we were just fortunate to be with great partners. Colorectal cancer is a little scary. And so the Falcons fans are amazing. And the energy in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium was on fire yesterday. And so just thinking about Get Low, this idea of getting screened, it doesn't have to be scary, an amazing artist like Lil Jon, all of these things coming together with a great product like Cologuard. We really want people to feel like they could be part of their health and that it doesn't have to be scary or intimidating to take charge of it.
Dr. Ellis, also the importance of just Cologuard being an easy-to-use colon cancer screening test. How can people go about accessing this?
Yeah, so one, you can get a prescription from your doctor, or someone could request a test online at cologuard.com or getlow2.com. The test comes straight to someone's home, and you don't have to do the prep, the gallon jug of disgusting liquid, right? You could just have a regular normal bowel movement like you would on a regular day. You collect the sample, you swipe the sample, you package it up, everything you need is in the box. You don't have to touch your poop, and you send it back through UPS to Cologuard, and we give you your result in about 2 weeks. So it takes about 15 minutes, but it's really straightforward. There's online videos and QR codes and a hotline if you need help. So it's really meant to be simple and not scary and really approachable.
Dr. Ellis, I'm reading the notes here for you guys at getlow2.com. It says there's a full music video. What can people expect?
Yes.
To that website? How rowdy am I going to get watching this music video?
It's amazing. I watched it this morning. So everybody remembers From the Windows to the Walls from the 2000s, late 99.
Yes,
It's time to get screened, right? And so, 45 and up, go to the website, check out the video. It's Lil Jon and Comfort is at his home. He talks to his doctor about it. And he gives you 4 steps, sit, screen, chip, or box, and then chip. And so it's quite funny. It's time to drop it down, get low, all the things. So I'm going to let you guys go to getlow2.com and check it out.
All right, well, you heard Dr. Ella. So if you were getting low to that song, it is time for you to get screened for colon cancer. So
awesome,
we appreciate
stuff.
You sharing that insight with us and for getting this initiative going because it's so important. And again, like you said, it's preventable.
Good stuff.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right. Super informative. Again, I know you're laughing about poop, Bo, but this is a serious
very serious.
And so it is good.
The things like that are what make you remember the name of the website and that it's important to get this done.
It's a phenomenal way to do it in a way that you remember. We were looking over, to be honest, the reason I got cracked up is we were looking over a way, like the screening thing and the process and about the at-home sample.
It's an at-home process. Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder how that works. And she described it, and just the way she described it, it's made me laugh because we had talked about it. But I'm also a 12-year-old in a 41-year-old's body, so.
You mean you're from Paulding County and you ain't never pooped in a box?
They do that in Paulding County?
I've wiped with a tank top before. Does that count?
In the woods is one thing. In a box is a little bit shady.
In a box, not in an outhouse. We dig holes out there. And you go in them and then you cover them up. You
know, one of those seats that hooks onto your to your bumper on your truck.
Kind of like when a dog takes a poop and they start kicking the grass afterwards. They're really just covering it up. Big shout out to my friends at New Realm Brewing. Abe and I did a show down there. Where I had a couple of Allen lagers on Friday before Georgia Tech, and not to mention Elvin Engineer is another beer down there that they have, which is Georgia Tech beer. Also, Saturday we're at Miller Ale House in Kennesaw for the Kennesaw State game. I was out there. Tinker stopped by. Big shout out to Mike, who stopped by and brought me some Earnhardt stuff, which was really cool, some cool collectible stuff. But so it was a fun weekend. Real quick, I wanted to say that yesterday, you know, we talked about when Kennesaw State had fired Brian Bohannon a few weeks ago. Well, now they have hired the replacement. His name is Jerry Mack, and he's got 20 years of experience in been a part of five conference championships. So he's come to them. I believe he was most recently, if I read the report right, in Jacksonville as their running backs coach down there. He spent time with the University of Tennessee as well. And so he'll be coming to take over. So hopefully Milton Overton and company have found their guy to lead this program into the next era of it, which is obviously D1, Conference USA. So congratulations to Coach Mack. I'll expect my name to be put on a box at the stadium, and you have me in there.
I wasn't going to go there with you, but I was going to say, what kind of offense are we running here, you think? You know, what are we doing? We spreading it out or what?
I can tell you, if you hire a running backs coach, I'd imagine that they're definitely going to run the ball. I'm not sure if it'll be the Brian Bohannon, Paul Johnson kind of style of offense, but I imagine they will, you know, kind of be – I don't know. I would kind of look at
single wing. Come on, baby.
No. I think you're going to look at more modern offense. I think something kind of like what Brent Key and Georgia Tech have transitioned to.
Yeah, all right. I like that.
Cool. Well, that's it for us here. And it's actually not it for us here. We will be back to tell you what's coming up on the Steakhouse. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.